Your Conversation by Virginia Brandt Berg.
Our lesson today is from the 6th chapter of Proverbs, verses 16 through 19. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. The most interesting thing to note in this passage is that of the 6 things that it says that God hates, 3 of them are about the tongue. So much is said in God's word about the tongue that we can't avoid mentioning it. The Bible says, "Whoso keepeth his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Keep thy tongue from speaking guile." That is, keep your words from making a statement that conveys a meaning different from the truth. Many who shun telling a lie won't hesitate to give an inaccurate statement. One of the 6 things the Bible says that God hates is a lying tongue. Now the 19th verse mentions 2 more things that God hates: a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. It's important to keep your tongue from slandering, talking about others to the hurt of their reputation. Also, sometimes what appears to be harmless gossip runs dangerously near slander. I remember reading a long time ago about a girl named Jessie Pepper, 18 years of age. She was convicted of manslaughter because she gossiped about a girl by the name of Mary Ellen, and that girl was discouraged and took her life. It was called gossip slaying because Mary Ellen took her life as a result of the gossip. I read an interesting article entitled, "Watch Your Conversation, Children Are Listening." The question was asked, "What is the most neglected problem in family life today?" And the answer was the way parents talk with critical spirits in front of their children. Dr. James H. Bossard was a professor of sociology at the University of Pennsylvania when he wrote this article. He said that after 40 years of probing into what he called neglected areas of family life, with special emphasis on the problems of children, he made a discovery. In an experiment, Dr. Bossard used tape recorders and acquired extensive examples of dinner conversations of Philadelphia families. He said, "I had no idea I would discover a real pattern in the conversation of families. I just wanted to learn what families talked about, but to my amazement, I have found that family after family had definite, consistent conversational habits, and the critical pattern was the most prevalent. These families rarely had a good word to say about anyone. They carped continuously about friends, relatives, neighbors, almost every aspect of their lives, from the lines of people in the supermarket to the stupidity of their boss. This constant negative family atmosphere had a disastrous effect on the children, because a high percentage of the children were antisocial and unpopular. And with this pattern of the family's hostility, many times it turned to quarreling amongst themselves. Without fail, their meals were a round of insults and bickering, and the children absorbed that pattern and it caused the children trouble. It often doesn't show up until after they are grown or even after they are married. Long ago," Dr. Bossard says, "a great teacher pointed out that what comes out of the mouth is a great deal more important than that which goes into it." In that last sentence, Dr. Bossard was referring to Matthew 15:11, where Jesus said, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." I want to say that if your soul is small and superficial, egotistical and mean, all those qualities are going to permeate your words as they flow from your lips. All the sham and sanctimoniousness in the world won't cover it up. On the other hand, if the Holy Spirit has possession of the soul, the words spoken are clear and simple and filled with divine light, just as Christ is light. There'll be no deceit, sham, or double meaning. Words flowing from a soul baptized with His Spirit of love will have a magnetic drawing quality and a rare warmth that will draw others to them. When the heart is filled with divine love, you don't need to work to put pathos or tenderness in your conversation or your prayers. All your words will have a savor of life and power in them that comes from an inner depth of a Spirit-filled life. Do you want to be able to speak words of helpfulness to needy ones at just the right moment and just the right way and with lasting effect? Do you want to speak words that will remain in another's memory and bear everlasting fruitfulness? Then let the Spirit of the living Christ speak through you. When one is baptized with the Spirit of Christ, when it is Christ in you, as Paul said, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me." This Spirit of love is in your heart. This can only be done if He's abiding fully in your life. God's Word says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Also, there is the outstanding verse, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Oh, power flows through one from the indwelling Christ. This is what we call the surrendered life, one that is placed in his hands and living in his presence. This is when you are abiding in him and his words are abiding in you. Do you faithfully read God's word? His words can't abide in you unless you know them. Do you take time for prayer, waiting in his presence? How can you abide in him if you don't take time for prayer and to wait in his presence? If not, then just when you want them the most, words of power will not come forth. If you don't do this, your words will often come forth as lukewarm and powerless, because they don't come from an indwelling Christ. They don't come from a surrendered will, a life baptized with his love. The Lord Jesus Christ longs to fill you with his Spirit. He himself said this that day in the temple, as it is told in John 7:38. I'll read it from the Amplified New Testament. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being, streams and rivers of living water shall flow continuously." Isn't that wonderful? That is the result of Christ abiding within. One baptized with the Holy Spirit is bound to speak with love because God is love. His precious Holy Spirit is love. Now, all of this that I've said would be just so many words if I didn't impress on you the fact that the trouble isn't fundamentally with the tongue, though we talked and read about the tongue in our first scriptures. Of course, the real problem is in the heart. The tone of the voice can't have love or sweetness in it if there's no sweetness or love in the heart. Without his love, there is an emptiness, and people can discern it. Words are the only vehicle in which the quality of the heart and mind ride forth to other souls. Jesus teaches that our words reveal our heart character. Whatever the quality of the heart, it will possess and accompany our words. We don't understand it, but there is an invincible stream of soul quality that flows through our words. There is no way under the sun to change that quality except if we change the spirit from which the words flow. There has to be a change of heart. How many times has some man been mean and cruel and unkind to his wife, and then Jesus has come into his heart and changed his life, and then there comes a sweetness? What a change! I say, if there's anyone listening who needs a change of heart, you can cry out to the Lord as expressed in the 51st Psalm. O Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He will hear and he will answer. Then if you persevere in prayer, and as you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will come into an abiding relationship with your Lord, who is the fountain of all goodness and kindness and gentleness. Then you'll soon find your words to be conductors of his Spirit, which is love, meekness, long-suffering, and patience. This means a yielding of yourself to his will so that he can live out his life through you. Are you willing to do that now? Let's pray a little prayer about it. Our Father, we pray thy blessing upon each hungry heart, each seeking soul, especially these, Lord, who are having a battle regarding their tongue or losing their temper, and the quick, thoughtless, cutting, critical words that spring so quickly to the lips. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us. Fill us with thy love, Lord, thy own Spirit. We pray that we shall seek thee until we find thee in all thy sanctified fullness of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. visit us at www.thefamily.org.